Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Lawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sad Lady. So what?
It's the Melchester Odyssey. Can't remember which episode it is, but we've done loads of them, and we're going to do loads more, so if you don't like it, tough shit.
Yeah, mind your own business what episode it is, you fucking
what
lampard.
What are you even fucking listening for?
I need to know what number it is, because I catalogue them all, you see, in order. Fucking hell, listen.
I have a binder, like it's a piece of A4 paper, and I write out the title, the date it was published, and I do a 3-paragraph précis of what was involved in the podcast.
I colour code them too. I have a chart on the wall, and I have 5 highlighter pens, which my mother bought me with my vouchers from W.H. Smith's, and depending on the topics discussed, I highlight them accordingly.
Fucking pricks. So, yeah.
Pink is for a storyline involving Roy and Penny. Green is for when it's match action. Blue is when it is club management. All right, fuck off.
And I also have a box filled with index cards, and I write down the different episodes according to the different subjects and keep them on the index cards so that I can cross-reference.
What we're saying is, it doesn't fucking matter what episode this is. And it doesn't, mind your own business, focus on your own life, right? The number of this episode is for us to know. And also, it doesn't make a blind bit of difference what order you listen to any of this shit in. I mean, jumble it up by all means, doesn't matter.
I might actually stick this episode out as next week's episode number. I might miss a number just to fuck with their heads.
Just fuck with people.
Anyway, yeah. I was thinking we could try and get through 2 weeks of Roy the Rovers in this one episode, but already it's not feeling as if we're going to. Right, so it's the Roy the Rovers Best of the 1980s book. 208 pages of scorching soccer action, and we are at the stage where there's a little headline, isn't it, at the top of each week, telling you what's about to happen, a little preview. And there's just some speech marks, and it just says, look, some idiot's invading the pitch. So obviously that's a Lampard from the crowd.
It's always a Lampard. Like, when someone does something like invade the pitch, right, or do something else fucking stupid at football, right, I hate it when they go, idiot. There's always some Lampard going, look at that idiot. What kind of mindless idiot would do something like that? What a stupid person. You still think, it's not really a matter of intellect. It's just more about your approach to life. And that bloke's run on the pitch. And I sort of think, yeah, hero. Because at the end of the day, right, it adds to the entertainment and the spectacle, right?
Yeah.
I'm sat in the crowd. I want to see fun and games, right? These Lampards who go, what an idiot, what an imbecile, what a mindless fool. It's like, they'd like it if we were all sat like in fucking communist China in rows, politely clapping, daintily clapping everything that happened. The mad anarchy of the crowd is, you know, to an extent, part of the fucking fun and the show. Let the cunt run on the pitch.
When it happens on the telly as well, they never show it, do they? They all say, well, we don't want to give that idiot the oxygen of publicity, do we?
And so every fucker at home is sat thinking,
fucking
show us. Fucking show us. Of course we want to fucking see it, dickheads.
It's fucking,
you know,
Burnley,
I mean,
versus Bournemouth. 72 minutes in. It's 0-0. We're bored shitless. Give us anything.
Yeah, let us see that fucking naked guy with the weird long hair running about.
Yeah. I mean, it's not about him. He's going to get banned for 3 years or indefinitely or whatever. So, yeah. You know, but he's, you know, he's tried. He's tried to liven things up.
That's stupid as well, banning people. Like, you know, obviously there are some, I'm not saying all bans aren't justified. You know, acts of extreme violence should, you know, be punishable with bans because you don't want people like that in the stadium. But some bands are just so fucking stupid. You'd think that we were going to watch, you know, I don't know, you're up at the local fucking tennis club. Like, some of the things they ban people for. I know lads have been banned for having a fag in the toilet. If you're having a fag in the toilet since they banned fucking smoking, yeah, say, look, put that out. And if they still don't put it out, chuck them out, right? Don't fucking ban them for a year for having a cigarette in the toilet, for fuck's sake. Jesus Christ.
I mean, I'm sure you can get banned for just having a bit of aggro in a pub 3 miles from the match, can't you? They'll arrest you. They'll just ban you. Fucking hell.
You've got to have an aggro map these days, which is where you get a map, ordnance survey map, of your stadium. You get a compass and you draw a 3 mile aggro radius zone. Circle. Yeah. And then you find the pub closest to the outside of that circle, and then you go there and start some aggro. Yeah, I have a mini cab waiting outside the London Stadium with the motor running, and I jump in it, and he takes me to the nearest aggro safe pub, and I just go in and start chucking stuff about, being rude, you know,
aggro approved venue.
Yeah.
And of course the landlord knows that you know, and he's ready for it. It's like, oh, he's ready. Hell.
Yeah, so it's everyone's thing is we're all adults and we're all complicit in the aggro.
Consenting. I
mean, exactly. We're consenting aggro activists.
Mm. I'm glad we've cleared that up. So as we say, it says, look, some idiots invading the pitch. So that's what's going to happen. At the top of this issue, it says, although Melchester Rovers had made a dream start to the season, they won 5-0 in the first game, didn't they? It's hardly a dream start. One fucking match. Problems were building up for Roy. Super brat Vic Guthrie had been sent off, and then Roy signed promising Scot Kenny Logan against his father's wishes. But despite being relegated to the second division, the Rovers were serving up some devastating football. Fucking think so as well. But we've been through that, haven't we? So I don't know who they're playing, I've forgotten. Yeah, Railsborough. They're away at Railsborough. There's a cross comes in. Is that Paco Diaz, I think, is crossed it in, and then Roy does a diving header. What a header from Race! It's there, 3-0 to Melchester.
It is a good goal.
It is. Another Lampard says, and the game is only 20 minutes old. Who says that? How old's this game? Hey mate, how old's this game?
Mate, 20 how old's minutes? The game? Oh, I'm running a bit late. How old's the game so far?
20 minutes old. It's just a baby game. He's got the key of the door. Never been 21 before. That's what I'm singing about the game. Because it's just turned 21 minutes old.
It's like when they do these minutes of applause for like a fan that's died. If they died at the age of like 26 or something, they'll do it in the 26th minute. Yeah. In the 21st minute each match, we should all sing "He's got the key of the door."
To the game.
To the game. Every fucking week.
If I was a commentator, I'd have that up my sleeve.
Yeah.
For if ever a player scored on 21 minutes. Yeah. He's got the key of the door. he's never scored in the 21st minute before. Oh, hang on. No, our stats man have just told us he actually has. So just forget everything I just said.
That's proper Motson, that, isn't it? It's like I was watching that Brazil documentary thing and Motson, Socrates scores. What is it he says? I forgot what it was there, but it's clearly a pre-planned line that he's written in the hotel the night before. And you just think, fuck off.
That's like Jonathan Pearce goes in for a lot of that stuff as well.
Oh, God, yeah.
He loves it, doesn't he? And pundit-wise, Lawrenson is the king of it. Lawrenson used to love having a load of puns, word plays up his sleeve, didn't he?
But I've got so much time for Lawrenson. We've discussed this before.
Yeah.
Lawrenson's fantastic. If it's a shit game,
he's just a grumpy old bass. He doesn't give a shit. Yeah.
He'd use the key to the door, wouldn't he?
Lawrenson. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's got the key of the door. And then there's always a tumbleweed moment after it. that, again, respect Lawrenson because he just lets it breathe. He doesn't care. He knows there's a tumbleweed, but he doesn't get all, like, worried and start covering it up by talking quickly. He's just like, yeah, take it or leave it, cunts.
Put that there, that shit. Fucking
you either get it or you don't get it. If you do, good. If you don't, fuck off. Couldn't care less either way.
I'll do another one in a minute.
I like a man or a woman with the balls to tell a truly unfunny joke and then just fucking brazen it out.
Stink the room out and then just fucking sit back and watch.
And just stand there afterwards with your hands on your hips, grinning.
So we've got the home team, Railsbury, it says, were utterly bewildered by the pace and power of Rovers football. And Racy is fucking... He plays it out wide to Jimmy Slade, and Racy, as he does it, he thinks, I may have problems off the field, but everything is rosy on it.
Classic Racy. End of the day. Says, end of the day. Off the field problems come and go. Fucking and they don't fucking matter. As long as I keep sticking them in the fucking onion bag, everything else will look after its fucking self. Because the money and the endorsements and the fanny keep rolling in.
And a well-oiled machine. He he plays out to Jimmy Slade and he shouts, quick 1-2, Jimmy Slade. As he does so, a Railsborough defender slides in, misses Racy completely and goes, ah! And Jimmy Slade does what he's told, does the 1-2. And then we get a close-up after that of Roy. It says, for a change, Roy used his right foot.
I think I'll mix things up a bit.
And he blabs it in past the keeper and he shouts, get in there, as he fucking does it.
Have some of that, prick.
Pick the fucking bones out of that cunt. a crowd member shouts, yes, Racy's hat trick. And of course we've got that goalkeeper with the very, very thick black hair we discussed about 2 weeks ago, I think now.
Yeah, Wolfman.
Wolfman with the very, very small forehead. Mm. And the Railsborough defender looks the spit of Kevin Keegan. You ever look there?
I'm fucking send the picture of this Wolfman bloke to my dad.
See what he thinks.
With a message going, what do you think of this bloke? I'll report back on the pod what he says. You know what he says if I do things like that to him? He'll go, this is literally what the sort of thing my dad responds to when I send shit like that. He'll just write, I suppose this is one of your jokes, is it?
He assumes you're trying to fucking do him somehow.
Yeah, he does. And it's always like a disdainful, I suppose this is what you perceive to be amusing. Yeah, that's right, Con.
Not me, though. Not I.
You're as stupid as the wolf, man.
I know what you want me to say here, and I'm not prepared to say it. So, he's put it in. Racy's hat-trick. Kevin Keegan, look-alike, has got his hands behind his head in despair. So it's 4-0. And then someone's invading the pitch, and as it says there, one of the Lampard shouts, look, somebody's invaded the pitch. And it's our old friend Trevor Brinsden again, Melchester's super fan. And he's jumped over the advertising hoard and he's running up the pitch and he's shouting, what a goal! What a player!
Fucking hell.
And he's running towards Racy and he shouts, wahoo!
And Racy's like, oh, fucking hell, who's this cunt?
He shouts, wahoo! There's only one Roy Rice! Racy turns around and he's like, what?
Jesus
the?
Christ.
Brinsden's got his arm around Racy. It looks like he's bumming him, actually. He's got his arm around his stomach and he's rubbing his hair. And Racy says,
get the fuck off my barnet and get your groin away from my ass.
My beautiful ass.
Let me tell you something. Me and Blackie, we're playing in the European Cup a couple of years ago against some Turkish team. And one thing led to another after the game. Went out for a few bevvies, you know. And I tell you, fucking downtown Istanbul on a Wednesday night in June is a fucking good night out. But for reasons I can't go into here, me and Blackie ended up doing two nights in a fucking jail out there, right? And believe me, ever since I do, any fucker, any male's groin comes in the vicinity of the race arse, and there's fucking alarm bells ringing. I don't take kindly to it. I will lash out.
Have you seen that film, Midnight Express? Because I tell you what, compared to what I went through, that's like an episode of the fucking Wombles.
And Blackie had it worse than me, truth be told. I mean, I got more of the attention, like, because of my good looks.
Because I'm blonde.
But, you know, at least I'm an alpha male. I'm able to sort of, you know, I was able to establish some authority in the cells quite quickly, like. But Blackie in a situation like that is a fucking lamb to the slaughter. I protected him as best I could, but I had my own ass to think of, didn't I? So in the end, if I'm honest, I had to fucking almost give him over to them.
I'll say it. I'll use the word. I sacrificed him. That'll be done.
And, you know, he took one for the team. I tell you what, it was more than one. And it weren't for the team either, it was just for me. But Blackie's a good lad. He's a good lad, right?
He's learned from it. He's had counselling. He's all right now, I think.
Yeah, I saw him all right when we got back, you know. I mean, I took him out for a good meal up the Feathers, right? And we shook on it.
Chicken in a basket. But I digress. Trevor Brinsden. Trevor Brinsden, I thought I'd sorted you out in that tournament in Scotland. And Brinsden goes, so it was you who informed the police. Oh, never mind, superstar. He's just found out that Gracie grassed him up, but he's all right with it.
I grassed you, you cunt. It don't matter.
I'm back.
You're supposed to find Trevor Brinsden like an intimidating football hooligan, but he is a fucking weirdo. He's like, what's his name? He's like Robert De Niro in King of Comedy or something like that, isn't he?
Yeah.
Or that Alan Partridge super fan.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not tough at all, is he? So
he's creepy.
He's running off and he shouts, after a goal like that, I'd forgive you anything. I'm still your greatest fan, Racy. And he runs away. And Ray shouts, with fans like you, Brinsden, who needs enemies? Which is something, I suppose. And the ref shouts, get him off! As a bobby runs onto the pitch to intercept Brinsden and
blowing his
lead
fucking
him away.
Whistle.
So here's a question for you, Sam. Would you ban Trevor Brinsden after that? Would you give him a 3-year ban?
No,
after
I wouldn't.
That?
I wouldn't. I mean, I do think he needs to be punished.
Well, how are you proposing to punish him then? Because you're saying you're going to ban
give
bans.
I wouldn't give him a lengthy ban.
Tag him?
I'd tag him. I'd tag him and I'd give Roy Race a personal monitor so he could track Brinsden at all times and know if he's near him. I'd probably say, do you know what I'd do? In all seriousness, I'd probably let the old Bill deal with it. If I was in charge of the club, I wouldn't ban him from the club because he's a fan. But I would probably try to encourage some sort of, what do you call it, an injunction or what do you call it, a something order.
A ban.
A something order from him coming within a radius of Roy Race.
Right. Okay.
But I wouldn't make it a mile radius. I'd say don't come within 5 metres of Roy Race anymore because it's not on. You're fucking weirding him out.
Yeah. Well, I think your mealy-mouthed liberal attitudes have been shown up there as the nonsense that they are, to be quite honest. But never mind. I'd ban the cunt.
Jalapeño.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Jalapeño.
So it says then, move up the next side of the page. Trevor Brinsden vanished into the crowd before the stadium police could catch up with him. Well, these are different times. There's CCTV everywhere now. And I like to think that the kind of level of crowd that we've got here, they would give him up, probably. They'd all grass him up.
There he is.
Quick, get seize him. Seize him.
Citizen's arrest.
I'm sitting on him now. Wait for an officer to arrive.
It was easier to do a TTFN in those days, though, wasn't it, without the cameras? You could just peg it and get away from police.
There's no seats either, was he? He just run through the crowd.
Yeah.
So there he is. He's gone before the police catch up with him. But then Blackie appears just as they're going off at half-time. And Blackie appears with a word of warning, a word of caution. And he says, to Roy, Princeton means well, Roy, but he's a fanatic. The kind of fanaticism which could stir up rival supporters.
I didn't like the way he touched you, Roy. I didn't like the way he invaded your space. He pawed at you like you're a piece of meat, like you were his property. I didn't like that. That didn't sit well with me, Roy. Not just anyone should get to touch you. I mean, I understand you're married with Penny and you have certain marital obligations to her. So I'm willing to turn a blind eye. But no, I'm sorry, but that won't stand. That doesn't sit well.
I was watching a documentary on BBC Two, and this woman says that we've all got our invisible bubbles and we all live inside these bubbles and no people should come close and penetrate our bubbles. And I think that's what's happened there with Brinston and you.
He's penetrated your bubble, right? And I'm not going to stand for it.
Right, can I ask you something? We're 4-0 up. Would you be prepared to substitute me at half time so that I can go and track down Trevor Brinston?
I'm beaten to death. I'll get a sock from the kit man. I'll fill it with gravel and I'll fucking beat him to death till his brains spill out, Roy. I'll do that for you. It's the only safe way to deal with people like him. A gravel beating.
It sounds horrible, but it's actually honourable.
It's actually the humane thing to do. I done it once with a fox. I clipped his rear leg when I was on my way to training. And he was in a lot of pain, Roy. He was in a lot of pain. He was making this strange high-pitched howling noise. And I thought, I'm nowhere near a vet. I've got to finish him off. So I got a sock that I had in the car, in my kit bag, like, and I filled it with some gravel that I also carry around in the car, just in case. Situations like this. And I packed it real tight, and I smashed that poor fox's head in. It was mush in the end. There weren't even any, even his bone cartilage had been rendered powder, right, on this country road. Again and again, once I started, I couldn't stop bashing. Bash, bash, bash.
I had to be sure, Roy. I had to be sure.
It was the only thing to do. It was an act of kindness. That's what people don't see. It was an act of kindness, Roy.
Afterwards, I hooked him. I hooked him for about 30 minutes till I was covered in the blood and brains myself. I was talking to him. I know he couldn't hear me, but I was talking to him, telling him he'd gone to a better place. He'd gone to Fox Heaven.
I told him I loved him, and that's why I'd done it. And that's what I'm going to tell Brinston as well. But I want you to know, Roy, I want you to know, I'd never do anything like that to your Penny. She's too precious. I would never hurt a single hair on her head.
She's off limits. You've got to trust me on that, right?
All right, Blackie, calm down. We'll continue discussing this after the match. Come on. I know, I see what you're saying, Blackie. I see what you're saying. It's all right, but, you know, let's just leave it till after the game now.
Let's just finish this off, get the 3 points in the bag, and then we'll worry about Brinsley later on. And as Roy just simply replies, right.
Right then.
Okay. But then we get another one of those close-ups of Roy's floating head.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's delivering a message to the nation, isn't he? to the readers. He says, and I won't tolerate hooliganism in any shape or form. Another outburst like this, and I'll have Brinsden banned. There you go. Banned from watching the Rovers for the rest of the season. So, not as liberal-minded as you, Sam. He's going to bring out the ban.
Ah, well, or he's much more.
Blackie. He's murder him.
Roy Race is a much more draconian figure than I am, but it was different times.
I suppose it was different times, yeah. Modern Roy, in the new version that you're currently reading, I don't think he would.
Oh, no, in no way. He's like, he's
maybe
so
he
woke.
Would ban, because bannings are far more frequent now, but he definitely wouldn't
He'd start a Twitter dog pile.
Yeah, he wouldn't authorise the gravel in the sock. I don't think.
He'd start a Twitter dog pile and try to get Trevor Brinsden sacked from his job.
Yeah.
Which is probably quite a low-paid job. Yeah.
Yeah, which he really needs. Yeah. Mm. I don't think Brinsden has a job. I think Brinsden does this. He's one of them kids that used to be in documentaries in the early 80s who were on the dole permanently.
Walking around, start on a wide shot of him walking down a decaying inner city street, hands in pockets, kicking a stone along.
Yeah. This is Trevor Brinsden. Trevor Brinsden is 20. Trevor Brinsden is unemployed and bored.
Well, there ain't no jobs around here. What am I supposed to do? Yeah, I mean, sometimes we might hang around smashing in windows or whatever, but, you know, people say you shouldn't do it. What am I supposed to do? Got to do something, ain't ya?
I'll get out of bed about 10. I'll go out to the cafe about 11:30, have a cup of tea. Toasted sandwich. They've got one of them Breville toasted sandwich makers in there. I usually have cheese and beans.
Yeah.
And then after that, then it's about 1:00 PM, I'll smash some stuff up. I'll go home, have a kip.
Go sniff some glue. If I can find, I go to the dump. If I can find any glue or paint hanging around, I'll have a sniff on that with my mates. Make me feel a bit funny. Go home, sleep it off. That's
have
it.
A bit
and
of tea. Have some special brew.
Wake up in time for Crossroads. Watch out with the old deer. Right, if she's not already asleep, because my old deer's alcoholic. I used to love those documentaries.
Yeah. He must have seen Made in Britain with...
fucking great with Tim Roth. Yeah.
And the fella who was in the bill. Plays his social worker. What was he called again?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Fellow with the big nose who was in the bill.
Yeah.
Jim something? Don't know. Anyway. So Roy's going to ban him. It says there were no more incidents in the second half as Melchester added two more goals through Paco Diaz and Jimmy Slade. One of the fans shouts, "What a team! If they keep playing like this, I just can't see them losing." Another one says, "They could break every football record in the book." Fucking fuck off. They're going to get beat eventually. As the triumphant Rovers return to Melchester, they're on the bus there, in the dark, singing, "We are the champions."
Fucking hell, it's only their second game, isn't it?
Previous, isn't it? Fucking hell, yeah. And they're showing, "We all agree, Melchester Rovers are magic. Ha ha ha," they're all fucking laughing.
Dickheads.
These cunts should be ashamed that they're even in Division 2. It's disgusting. Blackie noticed that Roy was in a subdued mood. Roy's got his yellow polo neck on and his green jacket. Yeah. Blackie is in his blue suit and tie that Vic Guthrie was wearing in the previous episode. And then Kenny Logan had it on. And it's now been passed on to Blackie by the looks of it. He says, "Cheer up, Roy. Maximum points so far. And we're going to be on television soon. You're a fucking footballer. You're on television every fucking week. What's the big deal about being on the television?"
"I can't believe it. I've fucking made up. I've called my mum and everything."
"You're going to be on the telly?" Roy says, "Aye, the magic of Melchester." And then we've diverted away back to the documentary that's been made. That's a drama series, isn't it? It's not a documentary.
Yeah, I'm confused as to what the nature of the show is, because they've got an actor playing Roy Race, but all the other players play themselves.
Mm.
So it's fucking confusing.
Lots of strands all coming together here.
Yeah.
It says, since it had been decided to make a television series of the Rovers, a television camera was never far away. And Roy says, "It isn't very magical for me. Elton Blake, the star of the series, thinks I'm trying to get rid of him." Duncan Mackay says, you ought to let your cousin Arnie Mekiff audition for the part. So fucking Royce told them all about Arnie Mekiff.
yeah, he's, I think it's Jimmy Slade there. Slating says, his own cousin to all of his colleagues. Yeah,
that cunt cousin of yours. Get him involved.
Fuck it, Al. Remember I told you about that Aussie cousin I had? Yeah, cunt's turned up round my house, hasn't he? I'm not going to be able to fucking get rid of him now.
Jimmy Slade says, how's he coming along at home, Roy? And then Roy says, I'm a bit puzzled, actually. He hasn't tried to borrow any money from me yet, and he says he's trying to find a job. So maybe he's changed a bit since I last saw him. I mean, ideally, Arnie Mekiff would join forces with Trevor Brinsden. That would be the dream, but that's not going to happen. But what does happen is, as the coach rolled into the outskirts of Melchester, Roy shouts, hold it! Stop the coach! I want to get off! You see how he needs a piss. I need a slash.
Fucking stop now.
And someone shouts, oh, what's the matter, Roy? But no, it's not that. He gets off the coach, and Blackie says, he seems to be heading for that empty shop. Because there's a shop there, and it's cut in big letters on the front, A. Mekiff. So Arnie's gone and got himself a shop somehow.
I fucking love that, though. I mean, the balls on Mekiff. He's turned up from Australia without even giving any forewarning, moved in at Roy Race's house, and then within days, he's got his own shop with his name emblazoned across it on the high street. When I first saw this, I thought, I've done a lot of different things in my career, but one thing I've never had is a fucking premises with S. Delaney splashed on the fucking front of it, right? And as soon as I saw this, I thought, fucking hell, I'm going to do that. Yeah. Even if it's somewhere that I just sit in, even if I rent somewhere. I mean, you know, after this crisis is over, if there's some commercial properties free on my local high street, I might rent one. And just put Estelani out front and just sitting there with a microphone and a laptop, like doing my podcast with you every day. Because, you know, I've been looking for a private space to do this in for a while. I just think it's fucking great, isn't it, to have a shop like that.
Yeah, most people have offices. Fuck that. Get a shop.
Yeah, I tell you what's really annoying. Nowadays, everything's got to have a fucking name that sounds like an app. Do you know what I mean? So you can't start a business unless it's called, you know, Pods, P-O-D, or P-D-Z. Do you know what I mean? P-4-D-Z or something like that. And everything's good. It's got to have a brand, right? This bloke, he's just giving it his name, A. Mekiff. So there's something cryptic. There's something mysterious. Like in the old days, every shop and every bar was just the name of the proprietor, right?
Of course, yeah.
And nowadays it's got all this silly branding. But what I like about it is the mystery. You see it. Like, I'm walking down the street, I see a shop, it just says A. Dawson. I'm thinking, but it says nothing about what you sell. I'm like, I'm going to have to go and have a look inside.
I've got to
maintain some mystery.
And I went and had a look, and it's fucking dog porn. Fucking hell.
Yeah, you've got a lot of dog porn in there. I wish I'd never fucking damn my curiosity. Again. Wish I'd never stepped foot in the place. Changed my life forever that moment.
Now I'm complicit. But we don't know what Mekiff's selling, do we? Because Roy marches across to the shop and has a look.
And he's furious, Roy, as well. He's such a cunt. I think Roy is that guy in the family, right? Because he's a cousin. He's that guy in the family who loves to be top dog in the family.
Yeah, he's control freak,
right?
Isn't he? Yeah.
So at Christmas and all the other family get-togethers, he's the one who's calling the shots. He's the one with the money. He wants to control everything, and he wants to slightly look down and condescend to the other people in the family, right?
Yeah.
And Mekiff fucks it. And most of them are happy to do it, right? Because most of the other race clan are fucking idiots, and a lot of them are just happy for Roy to pay for everything, so they'll go along with whatever he says. But Mekiff's got a bit about him, and it fucks Roy off. Why should it matter that Mekiff's got a shop? He should be applauding him, not fucking throwing a tantrum about it.
Well, we don't know. He might be selling dog porn. We don't know.
Yeah.
So Blackie says, he seems to be heading for that empty shop. And Noel Baxter says, it's not empty now. It looks as if someone has just taken over the lease.
And it looks like there's dog pornography being filmed in there. Come on, lads. Let's go and have a look.
So it says, A. Mekiff, and then there's posters up in the window, but we can't make out what they say. I think one of them might say super or something, but it's
super
you can't tell what it
inside.
Is.
Inside.
But Roy has got his head above his hands in almost despair, and it says, Noel Baxter was right. And Roy thinks, so this is what he's been doing. I might have known. What the heck is the crafty devil up to now?
Opening a fucking shop without my say-so.
And that's the cliffhanger, because we don't know what the shop is or what he sells, what it's going to be. And we're going to find out next time. But it does say next week, more problems for the Melchester superstar. And they do appear to be piling up quite a bit. So I can't wait to find out what's in that shop. But we're going to have to wait a week. I'm not
it's
even going
to
look.
The mind boggles. And to any business people out there, bear it in mind. It's a good idea. If your shop is cryptic and mysterious, it attracts more attention.
Definitely. Definitely. And if you are selling dog porn, you can go under the radar a little bit.
That's the Mekif marketing method.
The Mekif way.
Yeah.
So that's it. How many marks out of 10 are you giving that one, Sam?
I'm going to give it a 9.
It's a 9 for me as well, definitely. Didn't quite reach the heights of a full 10, but a very, very strong one.
It had
one.
A lot
going on.
Going on. It lot did. Going on, yeah.
So next week, I guess we'll find out what's happening in the shop and, you know, more shit off the field for Roy, probably. Yeah, it's brewing up quite nicely. Big storyline coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, thanks
good
for listening,
stuff.
Everyone.
Join us next time. We love you all, always. TTFN. But that said, keep it cunty.
I don't think we love all of them.
Nah. We love some of you, and the others, well, you've just got some work to do.
Try harder.